welcome everyone to another fantastic week of basketball, and start it with Free Basketball, the lead podcast network. We are starting off the week again. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, joined always by the other two of the trifecta, the Holy Trinity, Cody Holsey, Daniel Greer. Hope everyone is having had a good weekend. Enjoyed the clocks rolling back, a little extra hour of sleep, but now you go outside at 5 o'clock and it's pitch black here in Memphis, Tennessee. So let's get into some NBA basketball. There has been a ton going on. We have a couple topics today that we're going to get to. We're going to try to keep this theme rolling on having shorter episodes with a lot of jam-packed content into it. So this is going to be a lot of fun, of course, but there was so much that's been happening between games and, Luka game winner over the weekend over the Celtics, everyone tearing apart Marcus Smart and the strategy at the end, the Cleveland Cavaliers on a 4-game win streak. I mean, there's a lot going on, but I wanted to start out with probably the heavier of the topics that came out, and that is the Robert Sarver situation. Now, I do not want to spend time talking about what actually is in those emails, because if you follow the NBA at all, or even if you don't, you can find the article and you can see that he's a god-awful, terrible person. And we have known this for a while, but the leaks have started to come out in specifics with the complaints from staff, former coaches. So it's been a big deal. But what I do want to focus on is, what can the NBA, but just a couple of questions about, but what can the NBA really do about it? Or what is the, I guess, next move forward for them? So Daniel, I'll start with you. Obviously, us as fans, we see Sarver's terrible, and we wanted him removed for forever. I'm sure Phoenix fans have probably wanted Robert Sarver moved forever. What can the NBA really do? Can they do much? Is this just about damage control? Or is there a precedent or something that you think the NBA can do about this situation unfolding before us?
Well, I think as we saw in the Donald Sterling deal, it was the NBA stepping in and pretty much forcing him to sell. I don't know if we're there yet. I think we're on the way for sure. And I think that, you know, there could be, you know, the commissioners could step in and say, hey, we're going to force you to sell the team because the players, maybe they boycott and don't play. But this could get ugly. It hasn't gotten real ugly yet, right? It's grabbing headlines for what's coming out. But as of right now, it's not really just on that. It's not on the Sterling getting ugly just yet. So, but I think that they could easily force him to sell the team because of what the team does. So I think the team, Chris Paul leading the way once again, might have to take a stand against the owner.
Isn't it just a bummer for Chris Paul that this is the second time he's had to deal with this? Now with Sterling, obviously there was recorded audio of him saying those terrible things. These are emails that, of course, Sarver has come out and denied. Of course, I want the NBA to force him to sell, but do you think there's really any legal precedent where they can actually force him to sell? Like, it just, to me, it has to get really, really bad for Sarver publicly for him to actually consider selling, because obviously he's a very stubborn, as we can see, terrible, obstinate person. I mean, the most famous lady in Phoenix is the old lady at the hearing who said, you know, he's so tight he squeaks when he walks. Like, this is a man that does not give an inch of anything, especially money. And the NBA, these franchise valuations, his value has gone through the roof. It's like, why would he sell if he can just weather the storm of this PR hit? I mean, do you think he ultimately sells, or do you think he's stubborn to where he's going to stick around and he's just going to take it?
You can already see him trying to hold and stand for, you know, maybe just pushing it off, saying, hey, that's not right, or denying the emails. But, you know, just like any business or, you know, a big name brand, anybody that's in power, you can't do anything detrimental to the actual you know, the team, the company, this is detrimental to the NBA, not all the way to the Phoenix Suns. It's detrimental to the entire league. And that I would imagine you can find a loophole or 17 loopholes to try to get rid of this dude.
Yeah. Or some sort of board meetings with all the owners, right? Vote on it. Let's get this moving. I don't know the specifics, not lawyers, not claim any of us are. I mean, Cody, I'm going to come to you. So maybe you're a closet lawyer that we haven't known about.
I've litigated lots of shelving disputes. So my closet lawyering, pretty good.
It's good that you're coming out of the closet on air. So this is good. Everyone, that Cody is a lawyer as well as a full-time restaurant manager. But Cody, no, I mean, we've even seen the past couple of days, Neil O'Shea, the GM from the Trailblazers, they're investigating his workplace environment. And it's obviously easier to get rid of a GM than it is an owner. But
governor,
I'm sorry. Yes, that is the correct term. I've been using the wrong term the entire time. But being a governor, you've obviously had your thoughts about Robert Sarver. Is there any way out for him besides selling?
First of all, I would like to crystallize my thoughts on Robert Sarver for everyone.
Get the bleep listening. Button ready.
Yeah, just get ready to edit this one. F*** Robert Sarver. Double birds. F*** that guy. He sucks. Secondly, just for everybody that's listening, if you want to check out what he did and all that stuff, it's in a Baxter Holmes article on ESPN.com. Couple things that were just interesting notes from the Donald comparison contrast to Donald Sterling and Robert Sarver. Donald Sterling's wife was pretty helpful in getting him removed from being the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. I don't think they're going to have that kind of like leverage with Robert Sarver. I mean, like, from what I understand, I think the way that is going to be would be handled, or like the best route for the league to pursue, would probably be through the minority owners. Because they're like, just like with Donald Sterling and his wife, like they're the only people that really have, I would say, any kind of like, because like, every, you know, all that stuff is like, he said this in the locker room to somebody one time. Like, it's all like, everything in that article is kind of like hearsay stuff.
Right.
Because lawyers say, he never said any of that. Like, none of it's in print. It's all audio, like, or not audio. It was all like, it's all, you know, this person heard this. It's a lot of it's based around Earl Watson. He's a terrible human being. I hate that guy.
Yes.
Like, he didn't. From what everything in that article was pretty terrible and like whatever, but it's he didn't like break the law, so it's not like you can throw, you know, you can say, well, you know, he kept six people in a freezer for 10 hours, like, you know, that would make it really easy and probably something he would do, but it's not, you know,
it's not cut and dry.
He didn't do something, like, it's not on video. It's not like super cut and dry where it's just like, well, this is really easy. Like, you know, you made people work for less than minimum wage. Like, that's a labor law violation. Like, that's terrible. You're out of here. Like, it's not like the league can't just be like, we don't like you, get out. Like, he owns the team. Like,
yeah.
Well, so
with the Donald Sterling part, I mean, we've already compared it to that, but Chris Paul was a part of it as well. I mean, how do you think this affects the Suns going forward? Because if my memory serves me correct about Sterling, it happened towards the end of the season.
It did, or April 29th, 2014. Okay.
Was that during the playoffs or right before the playoffs?
I think it was either right at the beginning or it was right before the playoffs started. I can't remember.
How did it affect the Clippers? I mean, did they win a series?
Or in the first round? No, in the first round, they actually beat the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series, 4-3, and they lost the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference semifinals, 2-4.
Okay. So it's not like they just completely fell apart. Like, they were competitive. They won a round.
They like it seems it was it feels like they kind of like they got their season got weird for like a second. Cause remember they like did the thing where they like threw all the warm-up jerseys in the middle of the like thing.
And they were favorite.
Yeah, they were right back to being chugging along.
I think they were one of the favorites that you were. Everybody thought this is their year. They were going to come out of the West. Now the Suns in the championship last year, Chris Paul, just a few years forward in the same position, he's going to prevent this from derailing them, right? Or do you think this is a huge distraction?
He's already been there.
It's not going away anytime soon. This is probably going to drag out all season long.
Do you think the biggest advantage for a team in this situation is having like a veteran leadership guy on their team that's actually already done this?
Right. But you've got DeAndre Ayton, who's in a contract dispute with the Suns.
Right. But like,
how many of these factors? I mean, DeAndre Ayton has said how important Chris Paul has been influence on him, but how much does it distract for this year and their repeat chances?
Oh, they're not. I mean, they're not going to. But like they're
you had to whisper that.
But like, I mean, I just think like for like all this all that stuff is going to be a distraction, but like, I mean, it is an advantage. Right. I think that like Chris Paul is the de facto leader of the team and is also the guy that's like, okay, well, we've done this before, we just go out there and play fucking basketball.
Daniel, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think it is going to be a distraction, but I think the DeAndre Ayton contract and the stuff around the team, such as financial, you know, contracts and the way the team's playing, will be more based on that compared to the stuff that the owner might say or not. The reason is because they have Monty Williams, great coach, and they're going to follow his lead. I think he will be the person who is the stabilizer in this whole thing. Chris Paul, yes, he's great. Monty Williams is going to lead them the direction they need to be for off the field, off the court issues. So I don't think this is a big issue. This is a big issue. I don't think it will be a big issue for the team because I think he'll stabilize them enough. I think they have bigger issues on the actual court and based around Ayton and the way the team's playing that will affect them more than anything.
Interesting. Yeah. Bringing up Monty Williams is a good point. I mean, him and Chris Paul together and Jay Crowder's on that team. I mean, a lot of veteran leadership around those guys. You guys know me with my conspiracy theories. Is there we've seen two Western Conference teams like with the Trailblazers with Neil O'Shea and the Suns with their owner, their emails getting leaked and all that stuff. Conspiracy time. Is this a plant by one LeBron James to destroy two potential contenders from within? James Jones, the GM of the Phoenix Suns, former LeBron James teammate. Would LeBron do that to James Jones and Chris Paul?
I don't think so.
No interest at all.
I have huge interest because
here we go.
Because James
Jones,
I just need
somebody to nibble.
What
I just
happens need to... if the owner's gone, right? New people come in. James Jones has a really good friend, last name James. Maybe he owns the team in a year or two.
Oh,
that's where we're going.
Oh, LeBron owner,
James Jones is the GM, he's the head guy. President of Basketball Operations, let's go.
Let's have it. Let's have LeBron James ownership group paired with him still playing.
Yes.
Can you play on a different franchise and own a different franchise at the same time?
Sure. Well, no, he would go there because his contract's up. They draft Bronny.
He's just not with it at all. He's just not following at all.
This is some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
All right. That was just the had to kind of lighten the move as we keep moving forward. Because the next topic, this is completely thrown off the wall. I have not done zero. He has done zero. I have done zero research on this trade. But it is one that is standing out to me, and it's a Ben Simmons trade. I know we've had plenty of those for the past 3 months.
Yeah, tell me more.
And things are starting to heat up, but maybe we can change the conversation a little bit.
Is that a lead in to what you're about to say with the trade?
Wow. Sell it, baby. Sell it.
And I'm going to focus on a trade for a team that feels like a dark horse to me for a young guy who just got a huge contract and is severely underplaying that current contract right now. And that is, I don't know what the other stuff that would be involved from the Nuggets, but it's Ben Simmons with Michael Porter Jr. And that is the center of the trade. And then you fill everything else you need. Wow. This is a dark horse. They just signed Michael Porter to the 4 year of 200. Was it 4 year or 5 year, Daniel?
I don't know, but it hadn't kicked in yet. So this trade
good
is
point.
This trade is void.
Maybe it's next year.
Also, if I'm the Nuggets, like I already have Aaron Gordon. Like I don't need Ben Simmons.
Do you not? Because Mike Malone, noted defensive first, defensive minded coach. This is why I said I didn't do any research to see if it worked.
Obviously, we could
tell. I'm just looking at what
Ben Simmons is washed.
What makes a lot of sense, and I think this trade makes a lot of sense for both teams. And you're just not for it at all, Cody. Why would you not be for it?
You can call me Negative Nelly this pod.
This is why it's going to be a quick segment.
If I'm the Nuggets, like I just gave him that contract, like I'm going to turn around and meet in like 2 weeks later and not believe in him.
He's averaging like, 10 points a game, shooting 20-something percent from three.
How far into the season are we?
10 games? 11 for some teams?
8 to 10.
Well, like, cool it. They gave him a 4 year deal, and 8 games later, they're gonna be like, "Oh, hold up on that commitment we just made to you. It's been 36 days since we signed. The ink dried.
Now let's
get this cat out of here."
This is the main reason, because you guys know I've been feeling this forever since Michael Porter Jr. was drafted by the Nuggets and actually started playing. I have never thought Mike Malone liked Michael Porter Jr. And I feel like he has real contempt. And Jokic feels like he's always annoyed. If you've watched the Nuggets this year, they look super disconnected. It's basically Jokic doing everything, and Michael Porter Jr. is standing off in a corner. Like, he's not even active on offense right now. He's not even trying.
Maybe you know, before broken.
The first couple of years, when he's trying to get that contract and prove that he should have been a top three pick, he was flying around for offensive rebounds, doing all this stuff, pulling up from three, shooting 40% from three. None of that is happening this year after he got that contract. Would that not scare you a little bit if you were the Nuggets, that this guy all of a sudden become complacent and he's not doing any of the things anymore, at least so far this season, that earned him, quote unquote, that contract that you're going to assign him to? Is it a situation if the Nuggets are starting sluggish like they are, to at least test the waters? Would you ask Daryl Morey if it would be of interest, or do you think it's just a flat out no for the Nuggets?
No, I don't think they want that.
I think the only way that conversation even begins to happen is if Daryl makes the call.
Really? Okay.
I don't think the Nuggets are shopping Michael. Like I said, they just signed that contract. They're not shopping. Like, you don't buy a car and then turn around and go try to sell it the next day. Like, I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you do. But you don't buy a car off the lot and finance it, and then you turn around and try to trade it in a different dealership the next day.
Question. Jamal Murray back. Mm-hmm. Would you prefer a core with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Jokic, or Jamal Murray, Ben Simmons, Jokic?
The first one.
Really? I think Ben Simmons.
Because, at least I don't.
It, yeah, I, it, It depends because
like you could just play. You could start Hakushak at 8 minutes left in the third quarter with him.
But he's playing with Jokic instead of Embiid.
He still can't make a free throw. So every time he touches the ball, you just slap him on the wrist.
He doesn't have to shoot.
What do you mean? He doesn't. But as soon as he touches the ball, any coach that knows anything about basketball is just going to smack him across the face. So he has to go to the free throw line and shoot what constitutes a jumper for him and never make it. He's going to shoot like 15% from the free throw line. And why would the Nuggets want that?
For me, Mike Malone, I think, would love it because he is defensive minded. And well, you're taking someone, Michael Porter Jr., who is not a good defensive player.
Why don't they just put like one of those blow-up inflatable arm guys out there but to defend the rim because they get the same amount of they get the same amount on offense.
All right. I'm not gonna give this up. I just didn't look at the contract details. So Daniel already got me on that one. But I just want to put it in people's mind that I think this is a trade that I would do if I were the Nuggets. And I don't know what the other stuff that would go with it. You know, obviously 76ers would probably need some more, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
The 76ers would need some more?
I do.
That's the issue I have with is when you have to add in more to send to the 76ers, I would have the issue because Ben Simmons
is broken.
He has baggage and he has so many questions.
Yeah.
I can only do a one-for-one trade if I'm doing anything.
You ever try to check a bag at the airport? You got to give him $50 more to do that at least. So if you're trying to check Ben Simmons' bags with another team, you're gonna have to pay the guys that the
I'm just gonna stand here and this is my proclamation.
Don,
this would be a good trade for both teams. I think it would work out. Put Michael Porter Jr. around Joel Embiid. Just let him chuck it up. He doesn't have to do any of the flying in and rebounding across from Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, Ben Simmons with Aaron Gordon, Jokic, and a returning Jamal Murray, Will Barton. Good luck trying to score.
That's what the Nuggets want. But at that point, wouldn't you just rather trade Ben Simmons for somebody like, I don't know.
I have
Damian Lillard, maybe.
Like Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges. Okay.
What?
All right, like, we got to check.
But if you're gonna trade Ben Simmons for Michael Porter Jr. for like $400 million, why not trade Ben Simmons for somebody like Mikal Bridges, who can like play defense and like shoot a three every now and then, and like stay out of everyone else on the 76ers' way? Like that seems like that's better for the 76ers than bringing in Michael Porter Jr. for a $400 million price tag.
Funny you say that because they drafted him and traded him.
I know they did.
Good job.
All right, I have one. All right, who says no to this trade?
Me.
Ben Simmons for CJ McCollum straight up.
I actually like that trade.
I actually like that one too.
I like better.
But who says no?
Blazers. I think the Blazers say no.
I think the 76ers are going to say no because they
really
want.
What would they?
If it's one for one,
you keep saying that. I think CJ Ben Simmons is if that is a trade that is something that people actually would talk about, like GMs. That's the best deal you're going to get for Ben Simmons
for both
teams.
There
has been one for one trades have been there, and Morey has not pulled a trigger on him.
What is Ben Simmons' trade value though?
Yeah,
like, that's what we don't know. That's what Daryl Morey's trying to figure out.
That's gone. That's so far gone.
But why would they why do they even care to trade him? They're just going to fine him. Like, he's a cash cow for them.
That is true. He kind of pays off the support staff and the
it's just like, cool. We get
the
like
stadium janitors and stuff.
We can put three more concessions guys on Thursday.
Yeah, I prefer the CJ McCollum one. I just think it's a dark horse with how Michael Porter Jr. is starting. And I think it's a pretty solid fit. The problem is obviously the money, as I've already pointed out, and what else would go with it.
How about this? Because I think these people have roughly the same trade value.
Uh-oh.
Ben Simmons for Porzingis.
Ooh.
Porzingis and Embiid together?
Yeah, it makes Porzingis can play further out from the basket like he wants to.
Porzingis wants to play more post. He doesn't want to play just threes. He wants to shoot in the post.
Him and Embiid can go one for one. Embiid can shoot a three. he can shoot a three, he can get in the post, they can do what, you know, they can.
Are they both going to be hurt at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to take turns. That you like. You
he'll, be about
weekend,
as, he'll be
every
about
every other
as use,
Thursday.
He would be right. about as useful on the 76ers as Ben Simmons.
Wow. All right. That was just a little quick. I just had to throw it out there. I know I it's won. An overreaction of Michael Porter Jr., but I thought it was a good one. So maybe I'll start a debate here. Go ahead.
Can we just have this segment all year where we get irritated with someone's play and we try to trade them for Ben Simmons?
Absolutely.
Is that going to be
why we're here?
Is that this year's like
this, our stick?
I'm just saying, like, is that something that everyone's going to do all the time? Like when X player sucks, it's like, should X player be traded for Ben Simmons? What trades could we get this guy into? Like, is Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons a good trade?
It's already been discussed, I think.
Yeah, but like, is that a good trade?
I don't know.
What are the laws in Pennsylvania?
All right, we've already gone over our 10 minutes allotted for Ben Simmons talk.
Did he play home games?
We're gonna move on. This is, of course, bringing back from a couple weeks ago, we introduced Fan or Fade. So I will go this week. We'll start with what we're a fan of for the past week or the past day. And I'm going to fan a team and then give a shout out to a specific player because I'm a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. Surprising team in the NBA. They just won their fourth game in a row tonight against the New York Knicks, I believe. The special shout out is for Ricky Rubio, 37 points tonight, 10 assists, went 8 for 9 from threes. I mean, he's on the season as a backup, averaging what he's done in his career, but if you've watched Cavaliers games, he's been like surprisingly fun and good for them off the bench where I've actually enjoyed it. Where in the past with like the Jazz and stuff, it was hard to watch. And so the Cavaliers, I don't know if this is going to last all season. People were high on them before the season. I just didn't see it because I wasn't sure how Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, you know, Lauri Markkanen playing together was going to work. But this three bigs that are interchangeable, can guard on the perimeter, protect the rim, has worked so far. And it's been shocking. And Colin Sexton, Darius Garland haven't been bad. So I have to give props to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm a big fan of them right now. Daniel, what are you fanning this week?
I am fanning the Philadelphia 76ers. Ooh. We just hit them. And I'm going to go and keep piling on. No Ben Simmons. We don't need him, baby. They are now rolling, and they've been rolling. They are first in the East, 8-2, and they don't need him. And they are showing that. The only issue with this, it's going to kind of backfire because it's kind of lowering the trade value of Ben Simmons because – that literally, like, I don't know what they're going to do with him because there's nobody out there that can trade with for him. And if they don't need him, then what's the problem here? So I think there's even more confusion now that they are good. They're not going to be forced to make any kind of move, but I had to give them all the props because, you know, people thought after Ben Simmons would be out, they would fall down and just be a mid team, a good team, but just a mid team. And they're first in the East. So shout out to those guys.
Cody, who are you a fan of this week?
I am a fan
this past week.
This past week. So on my Instagram, I came across this post this week. And I mean, I was watching games and stuff too.
Was it lawyer videos?
Like, yeah, it was
lawyer TikToks. What to do when you get pulled over by police or something?
No, it wasn't what to do when you get pulled over by police. It's what to do when you get pulled over by the NBA being a racist. was actually what I was reading. It was written by Robert Sarver. But what I was actually a fan of is John Morant's KD4 collection.
We're
bunch of different KD4s recently, and they're all pretty tight. So just like shout out to John Morant for like having fresh sneakers.
All the time. He can
that's all I got.
Them. Yeah.
That's all I got. John Morant. Shout out.
I like it. I like it. Now for fade. I am fading another team. I so far all my phantom fades have been basically teams, but I am fading a team that is 6-3, and that is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, I have not been impressed by what they have done at all this season. I mean, Luka hit the game winner against the Celtics. I'm not in love with this basketball team. I'm not really sure what they're doing. And I mean, you guys know I've been working on my personal rankings of them. I have them in like 23rd in the league right now. And that's a team with 6 wins. And I know some of those wins are over Spurs, barely held on to beat the bad Celtics right now. Like what they beat the Rockets by 1 or whatever it was, the Thunder. I can't even remember who it was the other day. So I am fading the Dallas Mavericks. I think the 6-3 start is a smoke show for what the problems they have. And the record looks better than what the team actually is right now. Not to say that it won't turn around, but I don't think it has been a very encouraging start under new head coach Jason Kidd. And I think the 6-3 is a little misleading. So I'm fading them. I just have not been a fan watching them. Daniel, your fade.
Yep, I'm going after the Mean Green out in Boston. They are 4-6 right now. They are 1-5 in the last 6 games. And the Boston Celtics, they have problems.
Ooh.
Lots of problems. And I'm high on them as a team. They have a lot of good pieces. They have, you know, they seem to fit pretty well. Jason Tatum is a front runner only. When things are going great, he's a great basketball player. When things aren't going so great, we got issues. Marcus Smart is coming out saying they have issues, that really they're all in it for themselves. I think this, in the end, is a big issue. And now they're starting to lose, piling up some losses with no injuries as of yet. Just imagine when injuries come. So I'm out on the Celtics. I think that they could end up being a play-in team, and that's fine, but they're not going to be a big-time playoff team. I think they'll finish outside the top 8 in the East this year.
Wow. You guys know from our preview rankings, we did not love the Celtics at all, and I was so confused by the hype that they were receiving preseason, but yeah, they have been struggling. I'll be very curious to see if they can turn it around and become a above 500 team, because it does feel like that. They're going to be fighting for 500. Cody, who are you fading this week?
Me?
Yes.
I'm fading you too.
Is that what you meant? You?
No. That's not what I meant. I'm fading Daniel Greer. High and tight, baby. No. I'm fading Robert Sarver. I hate that guy. I hate him.
I like it.
Sucks.
Just all in on the Sarver hate, and I love it.
Yeah. I had him written down as like a fan for this week too, because I'm a fan of all the hate that he's getting. But I changed my mind to the KD4s and John Morant to be more like a wholesome thing. But yeah, Robert Sarver, man, that was like, it sucked when I read all that stuff. Cause like, man, he's kind of a crappy guy. But then I was like,
completely confirmed with all.
I felt very vindicated, because yes. I was like, man, I've always thought this guy was a sleaze bag. So I'm glad that I'm right.
Yeah. It's great. I hope they get him. We want you to be gone.
Yeah. All right.
Finally, some best bets. Give an update for the year. I hit 2 last week on the solo pod. If you listen to that, thank you. You cashed both the Cavaliers money line first half, and you actually got the Cavaliers +4 for the game against the Charlotte Hornets, who are my favorite fade right now, especially on the first half. I've put it out a couple times this past week on Twitter, but so far this year, if you have just played the opposing team against the Hornets first line money line, you're 10-1 this season. So I might keep riding that. Might be one of my best bets. We'll see. But I'm 5-1 to start the year. Cody is 1-0. He took a -700 favorite in the Atlanta Hawks, whatever that was last time we recorded. Mm-hmm. And
imagine that.
He's 1-0. Shock.
Did he make like $2 or what is the
no money attached? But
I made 10 cents. 10 cents.
Yeah.
Hey, we had to lay a little vig to get some money, but hey.
Just a little.
But we got it.
100, but
we got it.
That's true. All that matters is you're 1-0. Daniel is 4-2. So let's start with the guy who is perfect this year.
Yeah, come talk to me. Come talk to me when your winning percentage is up here.
Is 100%. Cody, what minus 1200 favorite do you have for us this week?
So this week, this week I would like for you guys to enjoy. This is going to be a Monday night game. I think you're really going to like this. Ryan actually faded this team, but I'm just going to take the Dallas Mavericks straight up against the New Orleans Pelicans. Mavericks 6-3, Pelicans 1-9.
So the Mavericks currently minus 400. Are you on the money line? Are you taking them minus 9, the spread, or are you taking a money line?
Money line, man.
Mavericks minus 400, money line.
I'm trying to make some money here. I'm playing this. Okay, so this is what I'm doing. I'm playing this like it's a streak for the cash.
Oh, I like it. You do. I'm
just going for, you know, simple and safe.
Simple and safe is it is the NBA. Nothing is ever really safe. So yeah, you never know.
The Pelicans might shoot 73s tomorrow night, and they might hit 40 of them, and they'll score 120 points just on threes.
That's great that you said that, because we kind of actually have a little bit of a head-to-head here, because I do not have the Pelicans on the money line. I have the plus 9, and I know it's a stinky, stinky team in the New Orleans Pelicans. And
they yes, do.
It is an away game. Mavericks on a home stand. Is there a possibility that they'll blow out the Pelicans? Sure. Do the Pelicans still have some injury stuff? I don't know, but we'll find out tomorrow. So don't lock this in yet, because we want to wait for the injury report that comes out tomorrow, mid-morning or by 2 or something like that. I can't remember when they release it. It's like 10 or 11 a.m. or 2 p.m.
I have a question.
But right now, the Pelicans are plus 9. And in my rankings, I have the Mavericks only a 5-point better team than the Pelicans right now, 5.5 points. So I'm going to go with the points. Give me the edge. I'm taking the Pelicans plus 9. But let's be careful before it's official. Let's see the injury report for the Pelicans tomorrow. Because if Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas, other people like that are still out, probably going to stay away. But that's my best bet right now. But we'll wait for the injury report. Daniel, batting cleanup.
Yep.
What's the best bet for tomorrow?
Saving the best bet for last. the player props are not quite out yet, but if you're going to check out the Grizz 901 podcast, we talked to a guy that's with the Wolves lead. He talked a lot about three-point shooting from the Timberwolves. So I'm going to be high on that, and we'll share those out, whether it's free basketball or via the lead podcast, or even our, you know, stuff on Twitter. So pay attention to those, but I do like those 3-point odds. There's two things I like. I'm going to give you one, a caveat. This is just going to be a fun play that I'm going to do myself, but I'm going to take an alternate line on the Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to go -9.5 for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ooh.
-9.5. I believe this game is a 10 plus point win by either team, which means that I'm going to take my Grizzlies because they're already favored. But I do believe this is a 10-point win one way or the other. These teams are just so Jekyll and Hyde. But yeah, my main bet that I will go with and I'll back up, it's the Miami Heat on the road against the Denver Nuggets, -1.5. The odds are -115. I will take that line, -1.5. The Miami Heat win by 6 or 7.
Yeah, I love that one. I was thinking about giving that one out, but I wanted to give a stinky dog out this time, so everybody knows that it's not, you know, I'm not just going for, you know, the highly favored team. If you want to keep riding the Hornets first half The numbers out on the first half aren't there yet, but they are playing the Lakers tomorrow night, and it is in LA. So they just played the Clippers tonight. The Hornets did anyways.
Lost first half. Did you see that game? Did you just see the ending?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So just to bring the people up, they lost 106 to 120, right? 14-point win. Well, if I was to bring you back to, let's say it was 5 minutes, 6 minutes and 7 seconds left in the game. The score is 102-94. Who? 6 minutes ago in the game, 102-94. Who's leading?
I assume you're going to say the Hornets were.
The Hornets were winning 102 to 94. A couple free throws. They did not score until, wait for it, as I'm scrolling up, 1 minute to go in the game.
Oh, my gosh.
1 minute. They scored 4 total points in the last 6 minutes to lose 120 to 106.
Wow. Yeah. So if you want to keep riding that Hornets money line, now the Lakers are going to be favored, so might have to pay some vig with it, but it's 10-1. I know it's the Lakers, but doesn't it feel like the Lakers have been blowing teams out by 20 in the first half and then giving up the lead?
Right.
So maybe that's something you look at. Lakers first half, Hornets for the game. Like, that might be a fun prop, because that's kind of what's been happening for the Lakers. On that alternate line, that Grizz minus 9.5, do you have odds on that, Daniel?
I do not. It's not okay. Not available just yet.
Not available just yet. Okay, if I had to guess with the 3.5, I'm going to put it at like plus 275, maybe 325. That's where I think the range is going to be on that, if I had to guess. But I like that one. So best bets for tomorrow, I'm taking Pelicans plus 9, kind of holding on to wait to see the injury report on that to make sure that the Pelicans just aren't sitting absolutely everyone. But I like a stinky dog, so I'm going to go with it just because of the rankings. Cody is going with the Mavs on the money line minus.
Bet your house on it. Bet your house on it. Bet your house on it.
As long as they win by less than 9, I'll be fine. That's Cody's. Daniel, of course, the Grizz minus 9.5 alternate line. Not out yet, but make sure you get it. And the Heat minus 1.5, which I think is a double like, because I like that one as well. Because why are they only a 1.5-point favorite to the terrible Nuggets?
Right.
So the potential shooting regression for the Nuggets, they finally start hitting from 3. I don't know. Or is it just being in Denver for an elderly team like Miami and the elevation with the home court advantage? We'll see. But those are our best bets. Do we have anything to close before we go or anything to plug?
I have nothing. Just make sure you're checking out the all the other podcasts on this Lead Podcast Network. Also, go check out the Detroit Pistons. We all have our team pods. The Detroit Pistons pod is called Motor K313. Check those guys out. They're doing good things over there. They're trying to figure out, does Cade suck? Like, that's the question. And so they're having a lot of good time over there, but they are trying to figure out if Cade sucks. So go help them out. Go listen in. They have a lot of good young players. So I just want to shout out those guys.
Yeah, good shout out. I mean, all of our team affiliate pods are killing it right now. It's fun to listen to. So make sure you're listening to those so you know what's going on with other teams in the NBA. Expand past what you know to become a well-rounded NBA fan. All right, Cody, anything to plug for yourself? Your law firm? Where are you? Halsey and...
Halsey.
Just Halsey and Halsey?
Yep. I'm the partner. I'm the IT department, and I'm the
HR,
and I'm the janitor.
And you gave the janitor
a
partnership. That's very, very inclusive. Very nice of you, man.
Absolutely. What I really have to plug this week, just for all the people out there, Robert Sarver can suck a dick.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy your week. Not sure how I close after that. But yeah, like rate, subscribe, review the Lead Podcast Network every day of the week. Tuesday, Hooper's Log. After that, I can't remember the lineup, but it's shows like The Lowdown, High Off the Glass, which Daniel was on, which was a great episode.
Shut up.
New Channel Sports, Leading with the W. I mean, you've got to get a part of this podcast network so you can hear great episodes from not just us, but from other great, talented people part of our network. So thanks for tuning in and subscribing if you already have. Enjoy the week of NBA basketball. We will see you guys next Monday.